Hey guys, welcome to Sunset Church Podcast. We're a brand new church in Silicon Valley. My name is Yasmin and I'm one of the lead pastors here. Hey, if you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe and text 77977 and download our app.
Good morning, good morning. I love the sound of people chatting. For those of you that are guests, my name is Ali. I'm the lead pastor. We are in the brand new series, week three actually, of a series called You Asked For It. And these are questions that were submitted by the church, so I'm answering questions that you guys submitted. And today's question, I'm pleasantly surprised because I never expected you guys to ask this question. And the question is, well, how do I share my faith? And I'm just going to jump right in and begin and say this is actually a mandate. This isn't just something that God wants the church to do. This isn't just something he wants Pastor Yasmin and myself to do. Listen, this is something that he wants every believer in here to do. If you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus' words are speaking right to you. Read it with me on the screen. It says, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere, not just to your homies, not just to your people at the gym, not just to your neighbors and your family. Go everywhere in the world and tell them the good news. To everyone, something I say every week, something that we so strongly believe in this church is that this church is not just for the Christian. This is not just for us. We don't just come to have a good time. This is for the unchurched, because that's the heart of God. That's why we came to Santana Row. People said I was crazy for coming here. I said, you're crazy not to come here. Listen, this is God's heart for those who don't yet know him. And there are really two types of people in this room. Those of you that are searching, there are doubters, there are skeptics. I meet them every week. Thank you so much for thinking this is a safe place, because it is. But then there's a second person in this room, that he's found you. Now you're on the search committee. Now you got to find other people. Maybe you didn't know that today. Not today, I'm going to inform you that you're on a mission, actually. There's a higher calling than what you just do on Monday through Friday, that God has called you to be his witness, his ambassador. And this is really the heart of God. Let me tell you that God is actually distracted by things that are lost. 2 weeks ago, my daughter, it's 9 o'clock on a Friday night, and she's putting on her shoes. And I'm like, what are you doing, Sophie? She's like, we're going to the park. Not let's go to the park. We're going to the park. That's how you know that she's a Ruhi. She tells you what she wants. She doesn't ask for things. And I'm like, Sophie, it's 9 o'clock. It's too late. Let's go to bed. Let's brush our teeth and go to bed. Daddy, no. And I'm like, I don't have time for this. I just leave the room. And I promise you, I hear the deadbolt unlock and the door open. And I run out and she's gone. And Pastor Yasmin starts screaming, Allie, go after her. I'm like, honey, calm down. You're pregnant. We have two. If you lose one, we're fine. 50% is still a great percentage. No one does that, right? You get distracted when you lose your cell phone. You don't celebrate when you have your keys. Listen, God is distracted this morning. He loves that we're worshiping him. But 95% of the people in this valley don't know him, and he's focused on those people. I can read you 100 verses. Let me read you this verse about the heart of God. It says, we are Christ's ambassadors. I love that word, by the way. God is making his appeal through us. That means you're representing Jesus, even if you don't want to. That means the only person that Jesus, that non-Christians will ever see, the only Jesus they'll ever see is you. So your life actually matters. The way that you live, this question is super important. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says that God is making the manifold wisdom of God is being made known through the church. Some of you are new to church, and you think church is a building. You think it's the four walls where we sing. Church is actually a people. That means you're the church, and you're plan A. And listen, there's no plan B. But if we can talk about the problem this morning, it's hard to share your faith in this culture. We live in the 95 percentile of unbelievers in the Bay Area. Not only that, most people don't know this, but the Bay Area is actually the most unchurched. And not only that, it's the most de-churched area. That means of the 5% that are Christian, that self-identify as a follower of Jesus, 60% of them don't go to church anymore. Because they're done. They've done that and tried that. So imagine you're sharing this your faith to that people. Which is growing skeptical of God, is antagonistic to the things that are religious. I mean, it means we need wisdom. We need to know how to share our faith in a way that draws people in, listen, that doesn't push them away. Paul says it like this. He says, be wise. Notice he doesn't say be loud. You ever see those guys with a bullhorn on a street corner yelling at everyone? God says, I don't know why those people do that. He says, be wise. Notice he also says, doesn't say, be right. Like you can win the argument, but still lose the friend. He says, be wise. You need wisdom on how to share this. Like you're an ambassador. People are watching you, and you're going to be a representative of Christ, making the most of every opportunity. And then it continues, let your conversations always be full of grace. Like even when they say you're stupid for being a follower of Jesus, you're supposed to respond back with grace. That's difficult. God's telling you in advance to prepare for that. Season with salt. Like we have a word in our culture, they're salty. Like this is not that, right? The only salty people in this room are Laker fans. Come on now. Want a sermon. So that you know how to answer everyone. You know, this is almost every week after my sermon, I meet people in the hallway. They say, Al, your sermons are so simple. And what's supposed to be an insult, I actually take as a compliment every time. Because I love taking the complex things of God and making them simple so that everyone in this room, everyone can follow Jesus. And listen, it's simple. That's why we make church the way we do. Most people, listen, when they come to our church and they like it, they're like, it's over? Because I used to go to church and I'm like, is it over? Right? That's the exact opposite feeling that we're trying to create. Listen, everything that we do in this church is done on purpose for a specific reason. Not only so the Christian would love it. Listen, so those who are far from God who think Christianity is a joke. Listen, I know they'll sit there with their arms crossed, and I'll say a joke on purpose so I can get their arms uncrossed. It's a principle that if I can get you uncross your arms, I can get you to listen to hear what God says about you and how much he loves you. And not only does God want you to follow this mandate, listen, he wants you to be prepared. Listen to this verse. It says, always be prepared, which is why you ask the question, because you're not and you want to be. And I love the fact that you ask this question, because it doesn't even apply to you. It's about your friends. It's about your family. And I know this room is full of non-believers. So this sermon also applies to you, because sometimes we're hypocrites. Sometimes we're not prepared. Sometimes we're not nice. Sometimes we don't share with wisdom. And I apologize. But here's a principle. To give an answer to everyone who asks. That's so key right there. You're not forcing it down someone's throat. Like there's something unique about your life that is so attractive, they want to know. Why are you so nice to everyone at work? Why do you always come in the office with a smile? Why is it that even when there's chaos in your life, you still have joy? What is up with that? You smoking crack, bro? What? Share some. Come on. Like there's something different about you. And that's why I want to challenge you. That the best way to evangelize is really just to be like Jesus. This whole sermon, the three simple steps that I want you to share, all of them Jesus does. And the first one is this. You gotta connect with people. Sometimes in our culture, we want to correct, listen, before we connect. And Jesus wants you to connect first. Jesus wants you to connect. Listen, Jesus is the great connector of people. He hung out with sinners, people who were far from God, so much so that they called him the friend of sinners. And it wasn't because he just gave everyone a free pass, like, you do you, boo, you do you. He didn't say that. He spoke the truth in love, even when it wasn't politically correct. How? Because he connected first. Listen, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And see, this is why it's so hard to share our faith. Sometimes we think we're supposed to throw a grenade. Jesus loves you. He died from a cross for you. And then you just bounce. Like it's an evangelism grenade that you're supposed to throw. Listen, people aren't projects. People are people to be loved, not things to be converted. Imagine if a Muslim only wanted to be your friend, and the moment that he realized you would never accept, he stopped hanging out with you. How would you feel about that? Listen, sometimes as Christians, we do that to other people. Which is why even before we started this church, before our very first public worship experience, we connected with people. We went to the Santa Clara Art and Wine Festival. We gave out a few thousand grocery bags. We high-fived everyone that we could meet. We gave away hundreds of bottles of water. Why? Because we wanted to connect with people. And then we didn't even want to share our faith. We wanted them to share about what they thought about Christianity. So we had a big old whiteboard. 6x4 says, I would go to church if ... And we ask people to fill in the blank. What's holding you back? And even though everyone says that people don't want God, listen, I met two atheists after meeting 2,000 people. The vast majority of people in this valley want a relationship with God. The thing that's holding them back is us. We're not nice. We don't connect. Let me share this verse with you that kind of gives the heart behind this thought. Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Like, why did Jesus come? Like, why did God become a man? Why was he born of a virgin? Why did he live a sinless, perfect life? Like, what was the purpose of him dying on a cross and then coming back to life? Like, what is all of it about? To save and to seek the lost. He answers the question. But what you don't know is that this is verse 10. There's a whole conversation, verses 1 through 9, that show Jesus connecting before he says this. Read it with me right here. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Say Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Let me get some water real quick. See, Zacchaeus was a Jew and hired by the Roman government to extort taxes from his own people. Like, imagine your neighbor that you have watched Monday Night Football with knock on your door. Hey, excuse me, you owe me 20% now. Like a mafia gang member coming to your house and like extorting money. Like, this man is hated. This man is disliked by everyone. And he turned his back on his own friends, on his own family, listen, on his own country. This is the least likely person to go to church and watch what happens. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Notice that he wants to see who Jesus was, not what Jesus knew. Your friends don't care what you know. They want to see who you are. Are you living? Are you smoking what you're smelling? I mean, I know this is a crude way of saying it, but do you really believe what you're telling me? But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Next verse. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him being Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up, so Zacchaeus is in this tree. Short little man, climb this tree. Zacchaeus, come down. I need to whip you 3 times for stealing money. Zacchaeus, come down. We're gonna prosecute you for being a thief. You sinner, get down here. Shame on you. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Go back. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. We're gonna have some Chick-fil-A. I'm gonna buy you a spicy chicken sandwich, and then we're gonna spit a 12-piece because it's never enough one meal for one person. Right? He was connecting. He wanted to get to know him. Listen, if you want people to, this next verse to happen in your life, you got to do it the way Jesus did. So he came down, this sinner, this mafia head boss, came down at once and welcomed him gladly. You want people to welcome you? Treat them like people, not like projects. Like people. All the people saw this and began to mutter. I tried to use the word mutter this week and I got in trouble with my wife. Come on. Are you muttering at me? No, I'll go clean the car right now. I'm sorry. Like, it's a word no one uses, but I love that the Bible says they began to mutter. And it's all the religious people. All the people that say, you shouldn't watch Harry Potter. You shouldn't go to those rock concerts. Listen, I'm reading Harry Potter at rock concerts. I don't care what people say. He had gone to be with the guests of a sinner. You're not holy, Jesus. Look at who you're hanging out with. Everyone knows that a good person wouldn't hang out with that guy. And let me tell you, we bought a billboard about 6 months ago that people are still hitting on today, and 10 people accepted Christ because of it. Come on. I got 20 emails that month, which means I got 2 hate emails for every 1 salvation. Maybe one day we'll get 1-to-1, right? Then read this next verse. But Zacchaeus stood up. Listen, this is after the lunch. Like, the guy who wrote this book is Luke. He wasn't there at the party. He was there before when Jesus met Zacchaeus, and he was there after when they came out of the room, but he wasn't invited to that intimate setting where Jesus and Zacchaeus chatted. And we have no record of what they said, but listen, it must have been powerful because look what Zacchaeus says. "Look, Lord, now here I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone," this is a mafia headman guy. Of course he's cheated people. "If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times. This man who only cared about himself now is generous. This man who was stingy is now giving stuff away. This man who was selfish is now selfish, selfless. So sorry for that. What happened? Did Jesus highlight his sin? Jesus loved him. And then he corrected him. Listen, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. In the same way that the least likely person can accept Jesus, there are people in your life, listen, then they don't need you highlighting anything. Just love them. Take them out to lunch. Chick-fil-A is where the Spirit of God is, let me tell you. And the second thing you need to do, let me read the second verse. Jesus said to him, today, go back. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to have lunch with people. For the Son of Man came to correct people. It says the Son of Man came to save and to seek the lost. You need to connect before you correct. It's number two. This is what? Simple way of evangelism. You need to share your story. Share your story. Like, there's no verse in the Bible that says, find what's wrong with other people and then shine a spotlight on it, right? Actually, it says the exact opposite. Read this verse with me. It says, I want you guys to read the words that are underlined. Let shine before others so that they may see and glorify
your Father.
It's all about you. Like, you're living such an exemplary life that people want it. That when they see you, like, man, there is something so different about you. You're not like my other friends. They're going to want to know your God. Yeah. They're going to want to know. And then listen, it's an opportunity for you to share your testimony. And you got to do it in 2 minutes. Like, you got an elevator pitch. You got 2 minutes to share your story of what God has done in your life. And God wants you to do it this way. Read this verse with me. You'll be my, say that word with me. Telling people about me everywhere. My favorite courtroom movie is My Cousin Vinny. Come on, everyone ever seen My Cousin Vinny? You can go on Netflix right now after church. That's your pastor's assigning you homework. My Cousin Vinny is this little 5'2" Italian guy who's never won a court case, and his cousin is being tried for murder for a crime he didn't commit. And the whole trial, he's losing until he calls, Joe Pesci calls his fiance, Marissa Tomei, on the witness stand. And after she proves that the car that they were in couldn't have done the crime, he kisses her his hand and goes, you are a very beautiful witness. And the reason why I tell you, there are four players in any courtroom. Number one, there's the judge, there's the prosecutor, the defender, and the witness. Listen, God doesn't need you to be the judge. You're a terrible God. You lost your keys last week. We don't want you in charge. Number two, you don't need to be a prosecutor either. There's no need for you to highlight anyone's sin. Like, you have enough of your own. Trust me, Jesus said, the 2x4 in your eye is way bigger than the speck in the other person's eye. And number three, you don't need to be defendant. Sometimes people feel like they have to defend God. Listen, God's so big, he'll defend himself. He'll reveal himself in his time, in his way. You don't need to be his Johnny Cochran, right? What God's asking you to be is, listen, a witness, where you'll get on the stand and say, this is what God did in my life. Let me show you my 2-minute testimony to show you how you're supposed to do it. I was raised in a Muslim home. I was Silicon Valley born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. So you watch TV, it's good. We have a lot of non-believers here, excellent. I didn't go to church until I was 20. I never even met a Christian until I went to college. And the thing about the Christians that I had met, I'm not saying this is a blanket statement, all the Christians that I met in college, they all drank, they all smoked, they all partied just the way that I did. There was nothing about their life that was attractive. So when they invite me to church, I'm like, why? Let's sleep in. Let's go get tacos. Like, what are you talking about? And really what I was rejecting was not church, but their faith. There was nothing salty about it. Eventually I went a few times, and I always thought church was about the institution, about a building. I didn't know it was about a person. So when I went, I always felt guilty. I always wanted to run out the room. I always felt like the roof was going to fall on me because do they know what I did last night? Do they know how much alcohol I drank? Do they know what I did last night? And it wasn't until I met my sister, the first authentic Christian I ever met. And I knew that there was something different about her because when she would visit me in college, listen, her and I would fight like Tom and Jerry. And when I'd yell at her, listen, there was something different about her this time. She would absorb my lack of character. And it actually upset me even more. Like, I'd yell even louder, trying to provoke her. But she wouldn't. She just kept being a great witness. Kept loving me, continued speaking me words full of grace. And then she invited me to a church that literally shocked me. It was like this, probably twice the size, 200-300 young people, passionately worshiping God. And it blew me away. I didn't think that was possible. You don't see that in Islam. You're there because you're forced to go there. And you're looking at the clock waiting to leave. These people wanted to be a church because they were in love with God. And I wanted that. 2 years later, I was alone in my room and I prayed a simple prayer. I said, God, if you'd save me, you'll never have a better follower because I need you to come in my life. And listen, that night, I met him. God's not a person to be studied. He's a person to be encountered. And Christianity isn't about church. It's not a religion. It's about a relationship with a living person. He walked out of the tomb and he wants to know you and he loves you. And Pastor Yasmin, that's our dream. It's not even to connect you to this church. It's to connect you to him. If you join the church, great. That's not the goal. The goal is for you to know him, be in relationship with him. And that's my story. And here's the thing, you have a story too. And God wants you to share what he's done in your life. Listen, after you've connected, after you've loved that person. And when you share your story, listen, it's going to invite them in and they're going to want to know your God. It's the third thing you need to do. Invite them to a place. One of our core values at this church is that faith, listen, is our focus. And the reason why we believe that is we will do ordinary things so that God can do the extraordinary things. See, when you look at this at the physical, there's just a stage and some lights, nothing special. But see, when we do the ordinary things, God shows up and does the extraordinary things because his spirit is here. See, God is not just a person to be studied. He's a person to be encountered. And there are skeptics in this room. That, let me tell you, the only person that you will ever meet is Jesus, and he'll turn any skeptic into a believer. That's why we turn the lights low and the music up. Because one moment in his presence, one moment encountering him, and you'll be like, he's undeniable. He's undeniable. And that's why we do the church the way we do. That's why we usher in the presence of God. But even before you show up, we're praying around all the chairs. We're here 2 hours early. That's why we fast during the week. Because it's crazy to believe that a guy died on a tree and he's the key to your life. But it's God's power. See, I'm not the only person that thinks this. There's a guy in the Bible, his name is Paul. And before Paul, his name was actually Saul. And Saul would go around killing Christians. This man spent his entire life studying the scriptures. He like memorized the first five books of the Bible. Like we memorize Justin Bieber and Drake songs. This guy memorized the first five books of the Bible. Crazy. And he saw his friends being converted to Christianity, and he had so much zeal for God, he began to kill Christians. And listen, an explanation didn't convert Paul. An encounter face to face with God. And then he wrote these words. Listen to these words. And it explains everything, why we do the church the way we do. Read this with me. It says, you'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's master plan, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. Listen, it doesn't matter if I'm wearing skinny jeans. That's not going to convert you. It doesn't matter if I'm like the best speaker in the world. That's not going to convert you. And even though Paul had a PhD in multiple studies, he chooses not to go there. Yeah. Here's why. Next verse. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, and then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. You need to know him, not come to a building. And then check this out. I was unsure of how to go about this, and I felt totally inadequate. I always feel that way when I'm sharing my faith, by the way. This guy wrote one-third of the New Testament, and he's saying he feels inadequate. If you want to know the truth of it. And so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else, but the message came through anyway. And then it ends with this. God's spirit and God's power did it. See, the word spirit in the Greek is actually the word pneuma. It's literally breath. Every week I'm in the hallway and I'll get a skeptic saying to me, there's something in that room. It's like energy. That's the word that they use, energy. And it's like you don't see it, but you can feel it. Like you're encountering God for the first time. And he's drawing you in, saying he loves you. Listen, he continues. He says, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. Like the reason that you have faith is not because someone explained the best reason why we should believe in this religion. It's something bigger than that. It's God's power that turns dead people into life. So many people come to this church, listen, and think that Christianity is taking good people and he makes them better. Jesus takes dead people and he makes them come alive. That's the miracle. And only God can do that. And only in this kind of environment. That's why we encourage people to invite their friends to church. No, it's okay if you have doubts. Just come. Just come and experience him. See what he does. This is why some of you are skeptics. And you think we have expectations on you. You don't need to serve. You don't need to give. You don't need to do anything. Just experience God this morning. And almost every week people are coming back. 48 people, listen, have accepted Christ. I didn't even do an altar call last week, and there was a gentleman who felt the presence of God was so strong. Listen, he gave his life to Christ because he couldn't deny the power of God in the room. That's crazy, but it's true. So God's just asking you not to be his defense attorney, just to connect with people. Just to connect with people. And then when they ask, why, share your story about what he did in your life. And then using wisdom, listen, when it's time, when it's appropriate, invite them. Invite them knowing by faith that God's going to change them. God's going to do something in this room that is supernatural. I say all of that to tell you, many people will still say no. They still won't come. They still won't believe. And even Jesus had this problem where people didn't understand who he was. Like, imagine you go to your friend and be like, hey, bro, let's go play basketball. And he's like, I hate basketball. I'm like, really? Why? I hate being tackled. I hate wearing the helmet. It's like, bro, that's football. He's like, oh, that's like Christianity sometimes. That's like Christianity sometimes. God's not angry with you. And the only angry people here are Laker fans. Like, we're full of love. Like, this is amazing. Who wouldn't want to come here? Jesus had the same exact problem, and he addressed it this way. Watch, read what he says. Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do the people say that I am? Like, what is trending on Twitter right now? What are people saying to me on Instagram? Like, what are they talking about? What are they saying about me? Look what he says. They replied, some say John the Baptist. John the Baptist had his head cut off. And they say that you're him. They say, this is basically what they're saying is we believe in reincarnation. Like, you're that guy, the dead guy who came back to life. And he's like, okay, that's weird. Okay, what else? Others say Elijah. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet who never actually died. A chariot of fire came down, took him up. Virgin Airlines, Heavenly Airlines, took him to heaven. And people say, oh, he came back down because you're appointed one life and then you die, it says in Hebrews. And then there's judgment. And people think you're Elijah. He's like, okay, that's cool. He's up there, but I came down. What else do the people say? And they say, others say you're one of the prophets. That you're just a good teacher. You're just another philosopher, another teacher like the Old Testament prophets. But you're not God. Jesus says, okay. And then he asks them this question. But what about you? He asked, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. See, his name isn't Jesus Christ, like his last name is Mr. Christ, like Christ. Some people think that, it's a totally okay if you think that. Jesus means Savior. Christ literally means anointed one. So what Peter's saying is there's something different about you. There's an anointing on your life, Peter, that's different than any other prophet. You have power and you have authority to do things that no one else has done. You forgive sins. No man can forgive sins. Like, you're God in the flesh. And Peter, Jesus says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Proving his divinity. And there are things, there are lies that people believe in Silicon Valley. That, like, when you invite your friends, they're going to say no. And these are the top three lies. They're going to hold them back from a life of God. Because they don't see him, Jesus, as the Christ. They see Jesus as a locked gate. Read this with me. A locked gate. Like, Jesus, God is there, but I can't get to him. Like, God's a good God. He's perfect. He's good. But he doesn't hang out with bad people like me. Like, he's behind that gate. I can't reach him. Almost every week I do an altar call. And if you listen carefully, I say, if you're a Christian and you're far from God, listen, that's not even theologically correct. But people who grew up in the church that never had a relationship with Jesus, they feel that way. Yeah. See, they know Jesus here, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And the myth is, I can't get to God. He's too far. He's not here. And the reality is he is. Like God says this, he doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He's near. He's near. The second lie that people believe, the second myth about God is that people see him through the lens of a pile of luggage. Like, what do I mean by that? Like I know that God is good. I know that God is great and he wants to do something amazing in my life, but I have a lot of baggage in my life, Allie. I gotta drop that baggage, clean my life up, and then I'll come to church. And the lie really is this, that God doesn't want me as I am. I need a change before God can love me and accept me. And nothing could be further from the truth. This is, if you wanna know what one of your pastor's favorite verses is, this is right here. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. When? That's right. So like, imagine Jesus on the cross and they're nailing him and he's like, hey, stop. I need to make sure someone down there is going to accept me. How about you? No? You? Get me down. I'm out of here. He did it before anyone accepted him. Before you knew he was a savior, before you even loved him and accepted him, he died while you were sinning. Why would God do that? So that he could show you his great love. See, in every other religion, listen, you work hard to earn his love. You got to get rid of your baggage before he loves you. In Christianity, you come as you are. And he doesn't just love some future version of you, he loves the version today. And that's the lie that people believe, that they don't come to church because of that. And the third one is this. He's an endless ladder. An endless ladder. And the lie is this. The lie is this, that I got to go to church, I got to serve, I got to work, I got to pray, I got to read, I got to do all these things, and then after doing all these things, then I'll get to God. Then I'll get to God. And you think God's like Nike, just do it. Right? Like you got to earn his love. And the lie is this, that you can get to God, but it's going to take a lot of work. And it's not true. You don't have to do anything. People will push back, well, Pastor Allie, doesn't say that faith without works is dead. True. There are works after you get saved. That's not how you get saved. And the reality is that God has a gift, that he did all the hard work to bring you home. He did everything so that you could be drawn near. And actually, he does all the work of removing the luggage from your life. See, some people want to take a shower and then come to God when God is the shower. And he loves you as you are. And when you knew that you couldn't reach him, listen, that's why God left heaven to come to you. And I want to end with this verse. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Like, what does he want? Jesus answered, the work of God is this. To believe in the one he has sent. That's why it's good news. Because it's free. You don't need to do anything to earn it. You don't need to do anything to buy it or deserve it. It's a free gift. And your friends, listen, their life will change when you just love them like Jesus. Love them the way that my sister loved me. And they're just waiting for someone to show them the real Jesus. The real Jesus. And then just show off. God did this in my life. This is what he did. Just be a witness. And then invite them to a place where God's spirit is so strong that they'll come in and say, it's undeniable. He's real. Let me, if you guys can close your eyes and bow your head, I'd love to pray for you. God, I pray for the church. I pray that they have boldness, that they would have all their, that they would begin to love people in their life, God, supernaturally. That they would be prepared, that they would be wise, I just love this question, God, because it shows they have a heart after you, that they want to not only know you, but they want to follow you. I pray, Lord, for them, that they would be wise with family members, that you would help them articulate the difference between the real God and the false God. That they, God, that their invitation wouldn't just be to Center Set, that their invitation would ultimately be to Jesus, not to a building, but to a person. And I just feel so led to ask, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if there's anyone in this room that has not received that gift, that you maybe would self-identify as a Christian, but you feel very far from God. And God sent his son to die for you, to bring you home. And it's not about an institution. It's not about you saying yes to this church. Listen, it's about you starting a relationship with Jesus. And this is a moment where I want to give you that invitation because it's free. If that's you, if you've never started a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you are a Christian and you just feel like you're a million miles away from him, with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you, would you just be willing to raise your hand and say, I want a relationship with Jesus today. I want a relationship with Jesus today. I want to start a relationship with him. Amen. Amen. Would you, with every eye closed and every head bowed, would you just pray this prayer with me? Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying for my sins. Thank you for dying on a cross and doing the impossible, removing my sins and forgiving me. Jesus, from this day forward, I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I don't know where I'm going, but I want you to lead my life. Be the Lord of my life, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If we ask and stand as Ethan leads us in one last worship song, this is our time of service where we want to extend our worship, continue our time of worship through our tithes and offerings. If you came prepared to give and Center Set's your home, you can give three ways. You can give through the bucket, you can give online, or you can even text 77977. I just encourage you, if Jesus has come into your heart and if you call this church home, I would encourage you to give. If you're a guest today, listen, there's no obligation. This service is our gift to you. Let me just pray real quick for the offering. Lord, thank you so much, Jesus, that you have provided all of our needs as a church, that we came into this thing by faith, and by faith, God, you have done the impossible. You continue to show yourself faithful. Use this offering, God, as our way of saying thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for who you are, and we pray, Lord, that we would follow your mandate of sharing our faith boldly and with wisdom, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us on today's message. We hope it gives you life. Hey, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and text 77977 to download our app and stay tuned with all of our updates.